Mike made mention a while ago that when he asked me what the lesson was going to be about, I just typed back to him, the lost. And we use the terms the lost often in our discussions, don't we? This individual is lost. That individual is lost. We need to be concerned about the lost. We need to go to the lost. Over and over and over, we use the term the lost. And yet I find it interesting that the Bible doesn't use the words the lost very often. Very, very few times. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus refers to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We also know the mission of Jesus, don't we? For he said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Luke 19, 10. When Jesus talked about the parable of the prodigal son who returned to his father's house, the father rejoiced. And he says, "This my son was lost, but is found." Luke 15, 24. And did you know that there's only one other passage in the entirety of the New Testament in the King James Version that uses the word lost? And it's found in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Beyond that, the New Testament doesn't speak of the lost. So it's a concept in the New Testament, but it's not used the way we use it so often in the Bible. We have as our theme this year, "We will go, I will go." We started off with a bang in January and then COVID hit. And it's been a difficult year, hasn't it? And we've struggled and we're still struggling because the congregation here has just begun to reap the effect of COVID over the last couple of months. And many individuals have contracted the disease. So it's been a hard year and it's been hard to bring our theme to fruition. We will go, the church, all of us as the body of Christ will go into the world and take the gospel to the lost. But if no one else does, I will go. And each month we've been trying to present a lesson focused on our theme. This is the very last month of 2020. And the church said, amen. Not long until this one will be gone. But what I want to do is not leave this month without focusing our attention one more time on our theme. And the title of our lesson very simply is this: Concerning Thoughts About the Lost. Concerning Thoughts About the Lost. Now, the lost need to be concerned about these thoughts, but we as the saved need to be just as concerned about these thoughts as the lost is. And there are seven of them that we're going to be talking about in the course of this lesson. Number one, the lost are lost in sin. Individuals who are in sin stand in opposition to the Word of God. The Bible says, "Whosoever sinneth transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." 1 John 3, verse 4. You see, when a man steps across the line of God, when a man refuses to do what the law of God says, that individual not only sins, he is in opposition to the will of the Almighty God. My friends, only Christians, and you can underline that little word only, only Christians have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and have their sins totally and completely removed from them. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation 1 verse 5. Everybody else is lost where? In sin. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 7, "There is not a just man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Isn't that something? You see, if it were not for God, If it were not for Jesus, if it were not for the cross, if it were not for the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, if it were not for the word of the living God to tell us to have how we have access to that blood, every human being would be lost. We as Christians are cleansed. Everybody else is lost in sin. Paul writes in Galatians 3, verse 22, the Scripture hath concluded that all are under sin. The lost are lost in sin. My friends, that is a concerning thought. Point number two, the lost are alienated from God. There's three passages that we'll look at to prove that point. Number one, Proverbs 15, verse 29. Notice what the text says. The Lord is far from the wicked. He's not close to them. He's not in fellowship with them. He doesn't have association with them. He doesn't call them His children. Folks, the Lord is far from the wicked. Another text, Isaiah 59, verse 2, a very familiar one. What does he say? But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Sin separates man from the Almighty God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works. Notice that little word, alienated. Who are we alienated from? We're alienated from the Holy One. We are alienated from God. We are separated from Him. Why? Because of our wicked works, because of sin and iniquity. Sin separates from God. Now that thought is a very concerning thought, isn't it? But I want to add something to that. Notice that, folks. A person who is alienated from God is alienated from good. He is alienated from things that are honest, from things that are holy and pure. He is alienated from anything that is meaningful and profitable, isn't he? We mentioned just a moment ago the prodigal son. It's found in Luke the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 32. The prodigal son goes to his father and he asks for his inheritance, and his father grants him his inheritance, doesn't he? And we all know the story. What happens? The son leaves home. And the Bible says he goes into a far country and joined himself unto a stranger of that land. And he wasted his substance in riotous living. What is that a picture of? Sin separating one from God. Here was a young man who was in his father's house. He was in fellowship. He had all the blessings of his father's house. He leaves, and what? He is now separated from God. I find it interesting that God didn't chase after him, did he? You see, God allowed this young man to leave and be involved in his sin, be involved in his iniquity and his transgressions. He finally finds himself in a hog pit, doesn't he? Eating the husks that the swine did eat. And he came to himself, didn't he? We find that in verse 17 of the text. And when he came to himself, he said, the hired servants, which are my father's, have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Folks, what did he remember? He remembered the blessings, didn't he? In my Father's house, there are benefits. In my Father's house are blessings. In my Father's house is prosperity. In my Father's house are wonderful things for me. In my Father's house, there's food to eat. His sin had removed him from all of that. You see, our iniquities, not only separate us from God. That's a thought, isn't it? To be separated from God. But folks, it's more than that. You're not just separated from God. You are separated from anything wonderful about God. There are no blessings. There is no prosperity. There is no meaning in life. There is nothing wonderful for you if you step away from the Almighty God. The lost are lost in sin. And the lost are alienated from God. That is a concerning thought. Notice number three. Some lost do not even know that they are lost. That's amazing, isn't it? You see, in order to know that you are lost, you must be informed about your lost condition. Now, for Christians, this thought is something that we have never really considered, have we? You see, many of us grew up having Christian parents, didn't we? And you see, our Christian parents taught us the values found in the pages of God's Word. We grew up understanding what sin is. We grew up understanding who Satan is. We grew up understanding that sin is wickedness and evil and separates us from God. And our parents diligently took us to Bible class and to worship services, didn't they? And guess what? Faithful teachers and faithful preachers proclaimed exactly what we're proclaiming. There is sin. There is iniquity. There is right. There is wrong. You need to do right. You need to shun wrong. We grew up knowing exactly what sin is. And we knew that at some point in our lives, we would reach that age of accountability, knowing that we have transgressed the law of God and stand guilty before Him. But did you know that most people in our world have not been taught the Word of God? I'll guarantee you could go right across the street to those apartments and start knocking on those doors, and there are individuals that you know who are in sin. You know they are doing wrong. And guess what? They don't realize it is wrong. They don't realize they are in sin. Why? They've never been taught that they're in sin, folks. Sad, isn't it? There's a second group that fall into this category. You see, there are individuals who Satan has deceived into believing that they are saved through some man-made system, and yet in their attempt to be saved, they are not, and they are still just as lost as they can be. But they don't know that. You see, Satan has the ability to blind the minds of individuals. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now listen to him. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If there's anything that Satan wants to do, it is blind people's minds. Let me ask you something. If you believe you are saved, do you need the gospel? No. I'm already saved. I've already done what I'm supposed to do. I've already received the remission of my sins. Folks, there are millions of people in our world today who believe that, and yet they have entrusted themselves not to the system of God, but to the system of man, and they are just as lost as they can be and don't know it. Another verse, Ephesians 4, verse 18. Paul writes this, having their understanding darkened. Now listen to this next statement. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance which is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Did you hear what he says? He says there are some individuals whose understanding has been darkened. And because their understanding is darkened, they are what? Alienated from the life of God. It's possible. It's possible, but he's so deceived that you think you are saved and yet you are not saved. Here's what's interesting to me. The Jews of Jesus' day are a wonderful example of that. In John 8, verse 32, we're all familiar with the passage, aren't we? And you shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall set you free. The very minute the Jews heard that statement, shall set you free, they were enraged at Jesus. They couldn't believe what they were hearing. Listen to what they did. They said unto him, we have never been in bondage to any man, they said. How sayest thou then, ye shall be free? Their statement was a lie, because at the very moment that they spoke those words, they were in bondage to the Roman Empire. But Jesus wasn't talking about something physical at this particular moment. He was talking about a spiritual bondage. Notice what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. Here the Jews were, lost in sin, and did not know it. If you had gone up to a religious individual of Jesus' day, one of those Pharisees, Sadducees, and you would have asked him, are you lost in sin? Oh no, I'm saved. Folks, the Jewish system couldn't save. Isn't that true? It's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. They should have understood that. They should have realized that. But what's even more interesting is they thought they were holy and righteous, didn't they? We don't need salvation. We don't need freedom. We've already been cleansed. And folks, they were just as lost as they could possibly be. He that committeth sin is the servant of sin. Lost and didn't know it. How sad. Point number four. Some are lost in sin and don't care. We made mention a while ago that we could go across the street to the apartments, knock a few doors, and we could find some individuals over there who don't even really know that they're lost. But guess what else we can find? We can find some individuals over there who know they're lost and could care less. Isn't that amazing? Many of those individuals grew up in a family that took them to church. They heard about God. They heard about Jesus. They heard about the cross of Calvary. They heard about the blood of Jesus. They heard about the Word of God. And even though they've heard about all those things and they know that all men are lost in sin and need to be saved, they don't care. They're not concerned about being lost. You see, their hearts are so hardened that they have past feeling relative to concern and fear of being lost. It's almost hard to imagine, isn't it? I want you to just stop and let that sink in. They know they're lost and don't care. We have some examples in the pages of God's Word. One of them is found in a man by the name of Felix. The Apostle Paul had the privilege of standing before old Felix. In Acts chapter 24, verse 25, the Bible says this, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." I don't think I've ever seen anybody tremble at my preaching. I wish I could do that. I wish I could make you shake in your boots. I've never done that. Nobody's ever come forward shaking. Paul made that man tremble by his preaching, folks. Do you remember what he says? "Go thy way. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." He's heard the truth. He's scared to death at the preaching that he's heard. You can't tell me that man didn't know that he's lost. And what did he do? He sent Paul away, didn't he? Now what's interesting, and the reason I have verse 26 on there, is because we never follow up with that verse. We just say, well, we don't know whether Felix ever obeyed the gospel or not. That next verse says this, "He also hoped that he had been given money of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore," listen to this, "he called for him the oftener and communed with him." Did you hear that? Now on that first sermon, what did he do? He sends Paul away, doesn't he? "You leave me alone. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you." And guess what? He did. And not just once. The text says he called for him the oftener. Why? Because he was hoping at some point Paul would give him money and he could get released. Now let me ask you something. Do you believe Paul wasted any moments talking to Felix about the gospel? I bet you every time he brought that man in, Paul was discussing, conversing with him about the truth of God's Word, don't you? Over and over and over, this man communed with Paul and never obeyed the gospel. I have another individual by the name of Agrippa. Paul was standing before this king as well. Chapter 26, beginning at verse 27. And he says this, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" And then he says this, "I know thou believest." Wow. That comes from an inspired man. "Agrippa, do you believe? I know you believe." You see, he knew the truth. And what was it that Agrippa said? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. But not enough concern. Almost, but lost." Think about that, folks. There are people in our world who know they are lost and are not concerned about it. That is a concerning statement. Number five, some will die lost, won't they? The Bible tells us that everybody's going to die, and as it's appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews 9, verse 27. But notice this, there are going to be many who die lost. Are you sure of it? Yes, the rich man did. And Jesus talked about him in Luke, the 11th or the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 22. Notice what the text says. The rich man also died and was buried. And what transpired? Lifting up his eyes in torments, he seeth Abraham afar off and what? Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. A man who died what? Lost. Lost. As I was thinking about the rich man and Lazarus, for some reason, my mind got to thinking about those two thieves that hung on either side of Jesus. And the reason is because of this. One of them was penitent, wasn't he? One of them had a change of heart while he was hanging there and even came to Jesus' defense, and Jesus promised him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, Luke 23, 43. But there was a second thief who remained stubborn, hard-hearted, and rebellious. About a month ago, we did a lesson on our series entitled The Sayings of the Crucifixion. And remember, Jesus didn't have his legs broken, right? But those Roman soldiers came with a heavy mallet to each one of those thieves, the Bible says, and break their legs. Those two men, very hastily, came to their end on that occasion. Their bodies slumped on that cross and they suffocated themselves to death and died. One man went to paradise. One man entered into torments. Here's my question. Did the rebellious thief look across the great gulf and see the other thief resting in the bosom of Abraham? How horrible, wouldn't it? How agonizing to know that I have died lost and he is saved, and I could have been in the same position as he, but no, I chose to die lost. Point number six. There are going to be those who go to the judgment lost. The Bible says there is a day of judgment coming. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by my gospel. Romans chapter 2 verse 16. There's a day that God has set aside, an appointed hour, when God is going to judge all humanity. And there are going to be lost people there. And we've talked about three categories. Number one, those who don't know. Remember that? There's people who just don't know. They've never been taught. I think I've mentioned to you about a young boy who came into our care at the children's home, and he would oftentimes spend the night living out under overpasses. And he was a young man at the age of 13 years old, and he was constantly having sexual relationships with young girls and thought absolutely nothing about it. Why? Because that's what his mom did all her life. He didn't have any qualms about it. He didn't even think that it was wrong. His conscience never bothered him about any of those escapades. He didn't even know about the death of Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. Some don't know, folks. And they're going to die lost. Fortunately, For those who die lost but didn't know the Father's will, the Bible says in Luke 12, verse 48, they shall be beaten with few stripes. Oh yes, punished, but in a different manner. But then we said that there are some who are lost, and guess what? They don't care. They've been taught. They know they're lost. They know the truth of the gospel, and they don't care. They'll stand before God and hear these words, "Depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25, verse 41. And then there are those who are deceived, aren't they? They're deceived. Oh, they think they're saved. They think everything is wonderful. They think their sins have been forgiven. And Jesus talks about them in Matthew 7, beginning at verse 22. "Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Sounds like a saved person to me, doesn't you? Or at least he thinks he is. "Then will I profess unto them," are you ready for this? "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Did you hear what Jesus said? "I never knew you." They thought they were saved. They thought they were right. They thought everything was okay. And yet Jesus says, "I never knew you." A group of people who think they're saved, and they're not. Folks, all of them will stand in the judgment lost, won't they? Last point. Souls will spend eternity lost. Eternity is what comes after judgment. I got to thinking. The day of judgment is referred to as what? The last day. Once that day is over, time ends. There are no more days. There is only what? There is only eternity. You see, the lost die, they are judged, and then they will also spend the rest of eternity lost. "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." See that little word, everlasting? Strong defines it as perpetual. It's translated in the King James Version as forever and eternal. Thayer defines it as without end, never to cease. Vine says eternal. "These," the wicked, the lost, "these shall go away into" what? "Everlasting punishment." Punishment without end. Punishment that never ceases. Punishment that is perpetual. Punishment that is forever and ever and ever. Forever lost. That's a concerning thought. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9 teaches that same lesson, does it not? The angels will come back with our Lord, and in flaming fire they will take vengeance on them that know not God, and listen to this, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Everlasting destruction. It never ceases. 7 deeply concerning thoughts about the lost. The lost are in sin. The lost are alienated from God and all the blessings that surround Him. Some of the lost don't know they're lost. Some of the lost know they're lost and don't care. The lost will die. The lost will be judged. And sadly, there will be the lost who spend eternity in that condition. Do the lost need to know about those things? Oh, yeah. But you want to know who needs to know about these things and needs to be convinced about these things? That's us, the church. Because you see, folks, by taking the gospel to the lost, guess what we can do? We can change many of those things that we just talked about. Instead of those individuals dying lost, they can die in a saved condition. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved, the text says. Saved. Here's the challenge, folks. Even though it's the end of the year, even though we're coming to the conclusion of this particular theme, let's take the gospel to the lost. Let's give the lost a chance to know they're lost. Let's give the lost a chance also to be free from sin. Let's give the lost an opportunity to be in fellowship with the Almighty God. Let's give them a chance to die saved, to stand in judgment saved, and to enter into eternity in a saved condition. Just because our theme comes to an end does not mean our mission does as the Church of Christ. We will go. I will go. Because there is a world of people who need to be saved, don't they? Did you hear what Jesus said? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Sounds simple to me, doesn't it, you? And yet, those are the two hardest commands sometimes to get individuals to accept. They don't want to believe in the Christ as the Son of God. And certainly individuals don't want to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. But the ones who will do that, Jesus said, shall be saved. Is there someone lost here today? My friend, don't enter judgment. Don't enter that next world in that condition. Don't spend eternity lost. Do you need to obey the gospel? If you're an erring Christian, do you need to repent of sins? Confess them and ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.